Will God stay by my side even though I have committed a regrettable crime?
Was the earth created for Lucifer and his angels after they were thrown out of heaven?
If those questions have piqued your curiosity, you'll want to stay tuned. I'm Kenia Reyes.
And I'm Inkosi Plummer. Bible Help Desk starts now.
Welcome to Bible Help Desk, and I am so glad that you've joined us for today's episode because I am thrilled to welcome a special guest host, Inkosi Plummer. Welcome, Inkosi.
Wow, thanks, Kenya. It's exciting to be here with you, our guest, and all of you viewers. Yeah. I'm looking forward to learning together with all of you.
Yes, of course. We're so excited to have you here, and we are all on this journey together. Getting the answers to your questions helps not only you, but also others who are watching. So if you have a Bible-related question, don't hesitate to send it in. You can do that by calling or texting us at 833-BIBLE-HD or sending it out via Facebook, Instagram, or through our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk. And if possible, leave us an email so we can contact you back. And Kosei, who is our first guest today?
So today, our first guest is Dr. Oleg, originally from Ukraine, and he currently serves as assistant professor of religion at Advent Health University in Florida. You may also recognize him from other programs on Hope Channel, such as Cross Connection and Revolutionary. Welcome, Dr. Oleg.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Joining us today as well, we have Dr. Glenn Russell. He was born in Egypt and grew up in Lebanon. He has served as a pastor and educator, and most recently as a professor and chair of the Department of Religion and Biblical Languages at Andrews University. He is also the host of the weekly radio and media program, Scriptural Pursuit. We are so happy to have you here joining us today.
Thank you so much. Always a joy to study God's word together.
Amen, definitely.
So today's verse is taken from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What I'm getting from this verse is essentially confidence. Mm. When you study God's word, whatever comes to you, whenever you have to defend the word, you'll be good. Let's pray on this. Dear God, we thank you so much for your incredible love. We thank you so much for your word. I pray and ask, Lord, that you would be with today's program. Help us to understand and to get the answers from you today.
Amen.
We love you so much. Thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What a great way to start our program today. And our first question comes in via text, and it reads, I am not Christian, but who is Lord, Savior, and Jesus? I am confused with these three names. We thank you so much for sending in that question. Dr. Russell, we're going to turn to you for this question. What does the Bible say on this? Who are these three different names? Are they three different people? What can we get from the Word of God?
Well, thank you. It's a wonderful question. Probably the simplest place to start is to recognize that Jesus is his name. Matthew 1:21 says, you shall call his name Jesus. So Jesus is his name. The other words that we use are titles. Mm. For example, Lord or Savior or Christ. These are all titles pointing to specific functions. Lord, of course, would have to do with his lordship, his authority, and it points to his divine identity, that Jesus was divine as well as human. Mm. It speaks of his rank and his power. So when Jesus was born, according to Luke chapter 2, there's an interesting introduction of him here. Mm-hmm. And it says that it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 11, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. So there's born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. That's his function. He will be the Savior. And Christ has to do with he is the anointed one, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. And Lord has to do with his kingship, his divine authority. So they're all wrapped up together there. Jesus is Savior and Christ and Lord.
Excellent. Thank you so much for clarifying also that Lord and Savior, these are titles. I don't know about you, Nkosi, but personally, I don't think I've ever thought of the fact that those are titles. We call him Lord, we call him Savior, Jesus Christ. There's all these ways that we refer to him. So I'm very grateful that you were able to clarify that for us and for our viewers. And we're going to turn to you now, Dr. Oleg, if there's anything that you would also like to add, because we want to make sure that our viewer who specified that they are not Christian can get a clear answer to this question.
Yeah, so what is interesting is that there is a very common bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. It's a bumper sticker of a fish. Mm-hmm. And you have probably seen those bumper stickers. Yes. And usually it's attributed to Christians. Christians will usually associate themselves with this bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that even this bumper sticker, which is the fish, fish in Greek is ichthus. You can say it with me, ichthus, even if you're watching, ichthus. And the first letters of this word is actually the entire name and the title of Christ, of Jesus, because it says ichthus, Iesus, Christos, Theou, Hios, Soter. So it's Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. So it was critical for Christians whenever they would draw that symbol of a fish, they would always remind themselves that who they worship is not the general, not the president, not the king, not the Caesar, but Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, who is the Son of God, who is our Savior.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Oleg, reminding us that these titles have a greater meaning in our lives, reminding us that Jesus is our Lord and he is our Savior, and that is something that we can use in our daily life. Thank you so much, Dr. Oleg and Dr. Russell, for your answers. Those are some great answers.
No, they were great. Yes. I just think about like the title of God, and it's just like, so there's so many titles that we have all in connection to our relationship to him.
Exactly. You know?
So that's awesome.
Of course.
We have this next question, all right? So, will God stay by my side even though I have committed a regrettable crime? Well, Dr. Russell, we're going to give this to you. What does the Bible have to say about this?
As I hear that question, I think there's really three parts to the question. First, there's this recognition that some crimes have been committed. And then there's a sense of regret, and I want to come back to that. And then there's a question about forgiveness. So maybe we could take those three parts together there. Mm-hmm. First of all, there's recognition, you know, I have committed a regrettable crime. Mm-hmm. The Bible is very honest. You know, I love the way it's so honest in its portrayal of human beings. The sins of God's people, the failures, they're not glossed over. They're not omitted. The Bible is very honest. We read about homicides. We read about adultery. We read about perjuries. We read all kinds of crimes that were committed by God's people in the scriptures. Tragically, sin has impacted many. And if we think about it, Cain murdered Abel. There's a murder of a brother. We have David, who was guilty of murder and adultery. Mm-hmm. We have others that committed terrible crimes. And yet the scripture points to hope. And I also think of the thief on the cross, who is a convicted criminal. Mm-hmm. And God said, I can give you the assurance that you will be with me in paradise. So there is forgiveness. So our first point, yes, recognize that crimes have been committed. Number two, the importance of sorrow, regret. The question implies, will God forgive me? Will he be by my side even if I've committed a regrettable crime? I like the fact that the person does not ask the question defending themselves or making excuses. It's a regrettable crime. And that suggests that a heart has been broken in repentance. No excuses, no justification. And David, after he's committed his crime in Psalm 53, cries out, you know, create in me a clean heart, O God, Psalm 53. And so when there has been a crime committed, and then secondly, when there's genuine repentance, God offers his abundant forgiveness. I really think that John 1:9 is so significant here. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, there is a condition if we confess, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and he is just. It's amazing. He can be both faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Wow. Thank you so much, Dr. Russell. Yes. It just reminds me of what Jesus did for us in the cross,
yes.
You know. So, Kenya, I know we have another question coming up.
Yes,
right?
Of course we have another question. And I really am grateful for the answer that Dr. Russell just gave us, because I think that for any of our viewers, regardless of what they're going through, this gives us so much hope. To know that God, there's nothing that can really separate us from his love. There's really nothing that can get us away from his mercy and his forgiveness. So I'm really grateful for that, right?
Amen, yeah.
Of course. All right, so we're going to jump into our next question, and it comes in via Facebook from our friend Ed, and it reads, who were the men in the book of Jude who crept into the inner circles of the early church, bringing in damnable heresies? What were these men up to? What were they able to accomplish? Dr. Oleg, we're going to turn to you, and I mean, I'm thinking of the times that I've read the book of Jude, and I can think about that chapter where it does mention these, but we do need some clarification. Can you help us with that?
Yeah. So if you really want to read the book of Jude, you absolutely should, because it probably will take you about between 5 and 10 minutes to read the entire book. Yes. Imagine. So I would absolutely recommend for you to do it. Just one chapter. But let's jump to the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 4. So let's go to verse 4. And this is what it says. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness, and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is very interesting, because the entire book of Jude, so number one, what we need to understand, Jude was the brother of James, and James was the brother of Jesus. So who was Jude? Wow. So Jude was the brother of Jesus. So this is what is one very important element. Now, second, what we also see that Jude was very passionate about the presence of grace and love and grace of God. Because even the name Jesus, as going back to the first question, means God saves. Mm-hmm. And going back to the second question, of course, if you commit any sins, God still saves, no matter what you have done. That's why Christ, and that's why what Nkosek pointed out, when Jesus is dying on the cross, what did he say? Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that is why in early Christianity, there was a thought that you can do absolutely anything you want to do. Because grace can cover absolutely everything. So there were some people in early Christianity who started promoting this idea that no matter how you live sexually, no matter how you live, whatever you do, no matter how you cheat or whatever you might be doing, you're still forgiven. And that was spreading all around. And by doing that, they actually were nullifying the greatness of Jesus' gift of salvation, gift of love, and gift of mercy. Do you understand what I'm saying? Basically, what they're trying to say, you know what, you can do everything you want because you're forgiven. And then James brings them back and says, no. Those people who promote the ideas that you can do absolutely anything, they're wrong. Because when you enter into the presence of God, if Christ becomes your Lord and Savior, you will live a life of compassion, kindness, mercy, and righteousness, because you will be entering into the presence of God himself. So that's why those people who tell you lies, let them be away from you.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank you so much for giving us that explanation and also giving us the context, which is always so important. We've done it so many times in other episodes, remembering the context, what's happening during this time when these letters are being written, when these books are being written. And it definitely helps us understand how we can also put that into practice in our own lives, making sure that we are following the word of God and that we are trusting that he will lead us to the truth, even if we are surrounded by confusing theories and confusing ideas.
Right.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Oleg.
Thank you so much, Dr. Oleg. And if you'd like to continue your study of the Bible beyond Bible Help Desk, you want to check out our Bible study resource at hope.study. We have a number of digital Bible study courses and also an option to receive free Bible study courses by mail. If you're in North America, you can also call and leave us your address, and we will mail those study guides out to you.
Sure will.
We're going for a quick break, but we'll be right back, so don't go away.
For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, because it is consecrated by the Word of God and prayer.
We learn a lot as we journey through life. Our teachers might be family, neighbors, or even colleagues. But it can be difficult to find a mentor who truly understands our heart, our dreams, our goals. Someone who can help us overcome our deepest challenges. The Bible reveals that God wants to be your closest mentor, teacher, and friend. At Hope Channel, we can help you find freedom, healing, and hope in Jesus, and the wisdom in His Word, the Bible. We pray that the courses at Hope.Study will help you find answers to your deepest questions. Let's walk together toward a deeper experience of wisdom and joy.
Welcome back. Bible Help Desk is your go-to place for answers from the Bible. If you have a Bible question that you'd like answered, you can go ahead and text us your questions or call us and leave us a voicemail at 833-BIBLE-HD. You can also message us via our Facebook or Instagram accounts or visit our website at hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk.
Our panelists answering your questions are Dr. Glenn Russell and Dr. Oleg.
Very well. So starting us off for the second half, we have a voicemail that came in from Jody. Let's take a listen.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10, it finishes up by saying, "And increase the fruits of your righteousness." What are the fruits of our righteousness?
Thank you so much for sending in that question. And Dr. Oleg, can you explain to us what are the fruits of our righteousness?
Okay, so let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 9 through 11. So we'll start one verse before verse 10. And this is what it says. "As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. How may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, while you're enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God." Okay, so this is very critical. So Paul, we need to remember that Paul wrote this letter to Corinthians, and there was a serious problem and challenges in the church in Corinth. And then he also tries to make this union between the church, newly born churches in Greece, Greek-speaking society, as well as in Jerusalem. So now, what do you do? How do you support people who live in Jerusalem and they're very poor? What do you do? And here is the Corinth, where people are rich and wealthy. How do you bring them together? Okay, I have an idea, Paul said. You know what? Let me bring to their attention this importance of true righteousness. And he goes back to the book of Psalms. He says, "He has given to the poor," and then he continues, "His righteousness endures forever." So what is that righteousness? Righteousness is generosity. Because even the Hebrew word tzedakah means righteousness. So basically, it's the fruit of right relationship with God. The fruit of right relationships with God is generosity and giving to the poor. This is what Paul says. So that is why, if you want to produce the seed of righteousness, please make sure to send some money to the people, to poor people in Jerusalem. And that applies to our lives as well. And Kozé, when you walk, Kenya, when we hear about some people who are in need, what do? We allow the fruits of righteousness to flow from us, and we share. Because true righteousness, true right relationship with God is not just vertical, but more so it is horizontal, because that is the only way to demonstrate God that you love him, is when you share and love your neighbor.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was such a beautiful answer. It reminds us that anything that is good that we can possibly do is going to stem from our relationship with God. Mm. It's going to stem from our closeness to God. And we share that goodness that God has had with us with others. Thank you so much, Dr. Oleg. We want to turn to you now, Dr. Russell. Is there anything that you would also like to add from the Word of God that can clarify this answer for our viewer?
Well, I'm just reminded of the experience of Abraham. Abraham, a wealthy man in Genesis chapter 12, he was told, God told him, I will bless you and make you a great nation. I will make your name great. I will bless you. Now, this was not for him to keep the blessings to himself, because in verse 4 of chapter 12 in Genesis, it says, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So God intends to bless us. He wants to bless each one of us, not so we can just keep those blessings to ourselves, but rather so that we can be a blessing to others. Blessed to be a blessing to others. That's God's intention. Don't keep it to yourself. Share it with others, just like Dr. Oleg said.
Amen. Thank you so much, Dr. Russell. That also includes the gospel. Yeah. We can't keep the gospel to ourselves. It's the best thing that we can offer others. Thank you both for your answers.
Yes.
And Jose, what is our next
question? Thank you. So we have our next question from Braun Wynn. Was the earth created for Lucifer and his angels? When the disagreement happened in heaven and all the other worlds rejected him, God couldn't just throw Lucifer and his angels into the darkness. So knowing that Eve would take the bait, was this world created for him?
Interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting question here. Dr. Oleg, what does the Bible have to say about this?
Yeah, so that is definitely an interesting question. And we can continue talking about it for a long time. But in short, let's go to Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 9. And this is how it begins. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So two elements. Number one, when we read the word war, in this passage, what we read is polemos, the word polemos, and that in Greek polemos, and this is the word that we have today, polemic. We constantly, what is that word that happens on television when one candidate fights against another candidate? It's a polemic. But it doesn't mean that they actually bring up the swords. So that's why what we see also in the book of Revelation is the war that doesn't involve necessarily blood shed. It's the war of ideology. So that is one element, very important element. Now, moving to the second element. What we see the reality is Satan, when he was cast out from heaven, he's searching for his place. And it just happened that the earth was the place that he found. And then what is interesting, even though I don't know the answer fully, why Satan ended up here, because obviously humans, Adam was supposed to be the representative of God on earth. But Adam and Eve, they just gave away their rule to another king. That king happened to be Satan in this case, because they gave it away when they took from the fruit of the knowledge. Does it make sense? Now, but there is still an incredible hope. And that hope is written also in the same chapter, chapter 12, verse 10 through 12. So let's go back there for 1 second. And then here's John. Here, John, who writes the book of Revelation, then he writes, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. So that is basically what we see in this climax. So even though Satan was cast down to earth, that's true. He just happened to be, and humans, they gave away the rule to Satan. But in spite of that, the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, whose name is God Saves Christ, who is the Messiah, through his blood, we are actually restored to be with God, to be with Christ. So in spite of what happened, I'm so hopeful, and I know that God's presence and Jesus' presence is with me.
Amen, amen. I just praise the Lord to that answer. Yes. Just knowing that God is with you, you know, that's so important, especially to this question when there's just like so much spiritual warfare going on. I actually want to ask Dr. Glenn, what does the Bible have to say, and what is your take on this question?
Such a fascinating question. I think Oleg has done a great job giving us a perspective. It's interesting, in the book of Job, perhaps the oldest document of scripture that goes way back in time. And we have in Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "Now there is a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them." It's interesting that apparently there was a United Nations, but they weren't quite united, because it was representatives from all the different planets. And here comes the king, the representative of this earth, and it's Satan. And the Lord says to him, "Satan, where do you come from?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." So here Satan says, look, that world that you made for Adam and Eve, it's now mine, because they've pledged their allegiance to me, and I get to be their representative. And that he became the representative of this world until the cross. And thank God, at the cross, he was defeated. The devil's a loser. And now we don't need to worry about who's the king of this world, because it's just time running out until God establishes his kingdom here. It's already set. The cross was the decisive battle. Jesus is Lord, and he's the winner.
Amen.
Amen. I love that. You remember that like visual of like the man on the moon, and he places his flag like on there? Like, I think of just like Jesus coming and just placing the cross, like, this is my world. Amen. Boom. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Oleg. Thank you, Dr. Glenn Russell. We appreciate you guys so much for coming on the show and just sharing your answers to the questions. Just thank you guys so much.
Yes, we really are grateful for both of you, and the way that we've ended this program today, I think it's full of hope, and it is full of inspiration for us to not only just understand all of these wonderful things from the Word of God, but to be able to understand that, just like you said in Kose, God wants to place his flag now in our hearts.
Amen.
He wants to be the king of our lives. And we thank you, because we know that you are interested in him being the king of your life, and you are studying the Word of God. So keep watching, keep sending in those questions. Remember, you can call, leave us a voicemail. You can also text us. Find us on Facebook, on Instagram. And remember, for videos on demand, you can visit our website, hopetv.org/BibleHelpDesk, or on our YouTube channel. And we know that you will keep getting these answers straight from the Word of God that can bring peace to your heart. So until next time, take care.
Take care.